vavatu sahanau bhunaktu sahadiryan karavavahai tejasvinavahitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 12. Krishna and Balaram continued, Now you should all return to Braja, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. We shall come to see you. Oh, we shall come to see you, our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks. Hearing the words of Balaram, Nanda might say, Oh, what am I to do? If I take Baladev back to Braja, there will be great rejoicing there. But in Mathura, among the Vyadavas, Vasudev will especially grieve. It would be a great sin for me. Kamsa killed all my sons, and one son who was protected from his chaos, Balabhadra, has been taken by Nanda to Braja. Nanda is not my friend. He is the second Kamsa for me. Thinking in this way, Vasudeva will curse me thousands of times. How can I or Krishna live happily at all? Right, so he's thinking that this might, how it might unfold. Right? Seeing Nanda standing silently, lost in anxious thought, Krishna then spoke and comforted him, waking him up with reasoning. Oh, father, you should now go to Braja. I, Baladev, and friends like Madhu Mangal will go to Braja later in order to see you. But now we shall stay in Mathura for a few days. Anticipating the question of when he would return to Braja, he said, After making your friend Vasudev happy, so that no one will find fault with you, we will come home to Braja. Right, because after making them happy, then it doesn't give a specific time, because they may become happy after one day or after more time. So, after bringing Baladev near his parents and letting them show affection for him to their heart's content, we will return. We will come back to Vraja when all necessary work is completed so that all can be happy. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Thus consoling Nanda Maharaj and the other men of Raja, the infallible Supreme Lord respectfully honored them with gifts of clothing, jewelry, household utensils, and so on. Nanda Maharaj was overwhelmed with affection upon hearing Krishna's words, and his eyes brimmed with tears as he embraced the two lords. Then he went back to Braja with the cowherd men. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur clarifies verse 25. Almost unconscious because of separation from his son, Nanda returned to Braja. Balaram and Krishna went to Vasudev's house and lived happily. Some relishers of rasa object to this incident of Krishna staying away from Braja, not being able to tolerate even a slight decrease in prema. I will smash this objection by an explanation. Let those who want to accept it. So it's like he's explaining what the situation is. People want to accept it, they can or not, but it's the way it is. You know. The objection is this. It is clear that the content of verses 21 to 25 is unfavorable to prema. In the explanations given, prema is not established. For there is separation of Nanda and Krishna. Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, may be able to give up Nanda, but how can Nanda give up Krishna and go to Braja? How could he give up Krishna, who is more dear than a million life heirs?
Wow, impressive.
I think that's the biggest purport we've ever seen. Okay. Okay. Let's see. How could he give up Krishna, who is more dear than a million life heirs for the cows in Braja? Why did he not take up residence on the edge of Mathura instead? The reasons given in the verses for their staying in Mathura are weak, only meant to pacify Nanda. Even Krishna and Balaram were not convinced in their minds of what they spoke. It is described in the 10th canto that Balaram did return, but Krishna did not. However, the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, describes that after killing all the demons that he alone could kill, up to Dantavakra, Krishna did go back to Braja. In the first canto of Bhagavata, also it is said, the inhabitants of Dwarka said, O lotus-eyed Krishna, when you went to Braja with the desire to see the inhabitants there. However, these evidences from the scriptures do not clearly show the presence of their prema. In the same way, when Krishna departed from Braja, from Mathura, he pacified them by sending messengers with the words, I will return. Messengers is in the plural to indicate that he sent many messengers, or one messenger who repeated the same message, I will return, I will return, I will return. What type of words were these? Sa premahi, they were full of love. O gopis, I am leaving you today because of an invitation to the Danur Yajna made by the king, which is difficult to refuse. It is not that I want to go. After seeing the Danur Yajna, I will return the next day. If some other work comes, I will also finish that tomorrow and return the next day. These words are really what Krishna was thinking. Then they can be called sapremahi, filled with love. But if they are not, then they are deceitful. Krishna said to Vasudeva and Devaki, 10:45-4, spreading his yogamaya potency, I am unfortunate since I did not receive loving care and the natural happiness of residing in your home. End quote. There Krishna used the words to bewilder Vasudeva and Devaki. Perhaps Krishna's words to the gopis is similar. But then why does Sukadeva use the word sa premahi to describe Krishna's words to the gopis? If Krishna had returned to Braja the day after killing Kamsa without considering all his other duties, such as killing Jarasandha, then one could understand that he was concerned with the gopis' love. But if he did not otherwise, one can only conclude that he was indifferent to their love. Therefore, the word sapremahi would be false. One should carefully consider a solution to these objections. One should consider as follows, right? So we understand the doubt? Because this comes up many times. How can Krishna do this? How can he leave? How can, you know, these kind of aspects like that. Vasudeva and Devaki are full of prema and cannot be neglected. But as well, Nanda and those in Braja have unequaled prema, and it certainly would be improper to ignore them. The purpose of the appearance of the Lord to kill the demons and protect the devotees must also be carried out, right? So you have all these different aspects. The various pastimes of Dwarka and other places, such as kidnapping Rukmini, stealing the Parijata tree, association with Yudhishthira, must also be revealed. He must also fulfill his promise to the gopis to return after the Danur Yajna. He must also reveal the superiority of the gopis' love to the world by showing to Uddhava, the most knowledgeable of prema among all the persons in Dwarka and Mathura, the gopis' unparalleled prema, revealed during painful separation for a lengthy period of time, like the revelation of the radiance of gold through heating by fire. Right, because when gold is heated, it actually becomes more brilliant. Like that. Like Radharani is the color of molten gold. So it's much brighter than just gold. You know, even you have gold, it's a little dull, you polish it, it's a little bit brighter. But molten gold is even more brilliant. Right? Yes, so therefore the radiance of gold through heating by fire. So therefore, through that separation, then that prema being heated, it becomes even more brilliant. Right? All these activities had to be carried out. Therefore, taking shelter of his inconceivable powerful yogamaya potency, Krishna, along with Balaram, came before Nanda and manifested two forms of himself. Nanda and others. His words to Nanda in verses 21 to 23 and the descriptions of the next two verses presented by the first form have been explained. Mm-hmm. But Krishna and Balaram, the second form, also speak, asking a question. O Father, we have been raised by you with great affection, but we are just your foster sons and not your begotten sons. We are asking you, so please speak the truth. Ugrasena and the other Yadavas say that we are just your foster sons. Vasudeva and Devaki consider us their real sons, and showering on us great affection have made all attempts to keep us in Mathura and prevent us from going to you. Though you are their dear friend, they have not even invited you to dine with them tomorrow according to the rules of etiquette, and no Yadava has come to see you today. Being very disturbed, we have fled unnoticed to the edge of the city and come to your temporary residence. This is the second meaning of verse 21, according to the second form of Krishna. In reply to this, the second form of Nanda says, in your previous life, you were the son of Vasudeva. Gargamuni said so during your name-giving ceremony. O Nanda, your son was in a previous life born from Vasudeva. End quote. I would guess that he would also have told this to Vasudeva. Therefore, Vasudeva is eager to take you to his house, thinking of you as his son, even in this birth. I know that he wants to take his own son, Baladeva, to his house also. But I am asking you a question. Do you think of us as your foster parents? According to what they are saying, have you become my foster son? Krishna answered this question with tears in his eyes. Parents develop more affection for sons coming from their own body than for their own soul. If I am only your foster son, how I became more dear to you than millions of your lives, right? Because they're saying the begotten son is more dear than your own life, right? But here he's saying, as if he's the foster son, how is it that he's more dear than millions of lives, right? So it's much greater. Millions of, therefore, I will no longer look at the face of that enemy, Vasudeva. Then Nanda spoke to Baladeva. Oh, my dear son Baladeva, what do you think of this? Baladeva said, verse 22, those who raise the children are the real parents. Therefore, I will not stay in Vasudeva's house without you and Krishna, even if Brahma himself commands. This verse has been previously explained in a similar way. Nanda Maharaj then thought, if I take Baladeva back to Vraja, Vasudeva and others in Mathura will become full of sorrow. The self-interested residents of Mathura will develop enmity towards me, but why should I develop enmity with them? As Nanda was absorbed in thought, Krishna and Balaram suddenly spoke to him. Verse 23. Right, these are the ones that have already been said.
Yes, already been said.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Father, you should go back to Braja. We will come later. It is not necessary to delay even a minute. You must know the instructions of Niti Shastra. If there is a relative, what is the need of fire? And if there is a good friend, what is the necessity of medicine? If out of your kind nature you cannot tolerate the Yadava's suffering, then listen, we will go to see your relatives, Gyati and Vasudeva, verse 23, giving happiness to your friends by letting them see us. Because relatives already have fire. Why do you need to make a fire? They already have one. Why do you need medicine? They'll take care. This is Niti. So it's the lowest of the three, and already Niti's kind of like up there. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, if you have good friends, they'll take care. They're always there, they're taking care of everything like that. And if you have relatives, why do you need a fire? Because if you're at their place, then they'll take care. Right? You don't have to sit out in the front yard and start your own fire and cook your own chapatis, right? Right? That makes sense? Unless, of course, they're only cooking rice because they're Bengalis, and therefore you have to cook chapatis yourself. But, but still, they have a fire. You can do it there. Okay, so then by giving happiness to your friends, you know, it means Vasudeva and family, then let us do that, and then everything will work nicely. When the two spoke in this way, verse 25, Nanda embraced Krishna and Balaram strongly with his two arms, just as a miser holds his wealth to his chest and does not let it fall away. Therefore it is said that with eyes filled with tears of joy, Nanda filled with love, Pranaya Vihvala, mounted his gold chariot and departed for Vraja. And these are cowherd men and they have a gold chariot. Like, you know, we count our gram in gold, I mean, our golden grams, and these guys got a chariot, right? Therefore, by the influence of Yoga Maya, one Nanda separated from Krishna and went to Vraja alone, and another Nanda, unseen by the other, was together with Krishna in Vraja. Thus, in Vraja, there were two separate manifestations of cowherd men, women, and cows. One set were immersed in an ocean of suffering with Nanda in separation from Krishna, and another set was immersed in an ocean of bliss along with Nanda in association with Krishna. They existed simultaneously in Vraja without contacting each other. Like that. That's Yoga Maya. Right? Only she could arrange it like that. Because you also have the manifest and unmanifest. So therefore, prakat and aprakat, then they're going on simultaneously. In Dwarka, Narada saw that in one palace, Devaki was caring for Krishna and feeding him. And simultaneously, in another place, Devaki, in separation from Krishna, was saying, "Oh, my son has gone out hunting and has not returned. He must be pained by hunger and thirst." She then fell into deep lamentation. Bhagavatamrita says, "How astonishing that though two forms were present in the same place at once, each form was unaware of the other form and did not contact it."
And Krishna, he was also not contacting each Krishna in the palaces.
Yes, it means.
Yeah. So he had all those different palaces. There. Narad Muni came and saw they're all doing different things and like that. Yeah, so it's that. Now we're starting to appreciate the importance of a Chintabheda Veda Tattva with that. Right? In other words, Dwait will not cut it here.
What do they do with this pastime?
They don't. They go to Vaikuntha and they deal with lower Vrindavan. You know, they deal with, I said, yeah, they deal with lower Goloka, which is actually Vaikuntha. Because Dwarka and Mathura are technically Vaikuntha.
They don't read Bhagavad?
They do. But for them, that is not Vraja Vrindavan. That's just Vrindavan. Because you have to, at least, 999 days, Dwapara Yugas in the day of Brahma, then it's a Vishnumurti who is performing pastimes with Radharani, who's Lakshmi. So it's Vrindavan pastimes, but it's Vaikuntha flavor. You know what I'm saying? So it has that mix. So it's not that in Vrindavan they can't appreciate sweetness, but its sweetness is an opulence of the opulences of Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? Now, one of the opulences is that Vishnu also has these sweet pastimes. So that's an opulence to them. So then they can, that's how they accommodate. You understand? So that's how they maintain their mood of, awe and reverence at the same time as they can appreciate the Vrindavan pastimes. That's why then our acharyas then point out Vraja. Because Vraja Vrindavan means, they'll know Vraja means Vrindavan, but when we say, they'll say there's Vraja, Vrindavan, it's all Mathura, it's all the same thing, right? But for us, it's Vraja Vrindavan. Because it's that aspect, that manifestation, that the original form of Krishna. So all these things can go on at once, why not? If you have a pastime where there's not millions of gopis, but then at the same time the rasa dancers millions of gopis, how does that work? Because all these pastimes are going on at the same time. Sometimes they all come together. You know, so we're dealing with things way beyond. We're just trying to adjust with the idea that we're not God and we're not the controller and the enjoyer, you know, so we're still working on chewing on that one. You know, so then we come through all these different things. But here is that Krishna is able to do all these things. So that's why he says he never leaves Vrindavan, because Braja Krishna, that mood does not leave. Does that make sense? So, but it's not that he doesn't go to Mathura. But when he goes in a different mood. So he can go to Mathura, and having gone to Mathura, it'll create that mood of separation in Vrindavan. But at the same time, he can be in Vrindavan where he's there. So that's the point. He can do all these things with Yoga Maya. So, because we're looking at it that the taste of separation in that is a problem, but the Brajvasis don't see like that. On the spiritual platform, the separation is just another aspect of the the ecstasy of being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It's just a different flavor, so each nourishes the other. So by the one, then the other becomes nourished. Does that make sense? So that way they can be in both at once, because in one it's being nourished, that the being with Krishna is nourished by the one where they're not with Krishna. And then within the one with, then even there's some separation to even take it more. So point is, separation, its effect is that it raises the happiness in Sambhog. Right? Means one has a certain level of happiness being with Krishna, and then by separation it raises it, so next time you're with Krishna, then the ecstasy is greater. Yes?
I think that in Ananda Vrindavan Champu Kavi Karnapur, he explains that those pastimes always go parallel. So they have both experience, prakat and aprakat.
Yes.
So in this way, it's all balanced.
Yes.
However, for us, we can see that, you know, our main meditation, it's a prakat gom lila. We don't hear much about aprakat. And even, you know, just a few scriptures they mention it, but there's no detail about it.
Yeah, but it's not important to the detail, because unless one's there, means the process of getting there has been explained in the Prakat Lila.
Yeah.
Because the point is by the time Krishna goes to Mathura, all the residents of Vrindavan, you know, means the Nitya Siddhas are already, but the Sadhakas, they've all come up to that platform of Prema. So they're all situated there. So now they can take part in both. But before that, they were being brought up to the level, so then they couldn't participate in both. Because aprakat means you're on the platform of prema. Prakat means you can be a sadhaka and coming up to that platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Then the doubt is that the meditation on Astakalya Lila, because it's aprakat Lila.
No, we're taking all from the prakat. See, the whole Krishna book means what we're talking about here is describing the prakat lila.
Right.
Because the lila in aprakat's not any different.
No.
So you don't have to, it's just like, because when you explain the Astakalya lila, you're explaining a day in the life of Krishna. You're not explaining the next day in the life of Krishna. You're explaining that day. Because that's the general form that it takes. So then in the pastimes, when different things are described, then you hear about different ways that aspect is manifest. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, therefore, and that's unlimited. So there's just, you have to know the main context, and then of some variety. So how much variety is revealed, that's enough for us. Because the Goswamis revealed more and then decided, no one's going to be able to deal with this. And so then those scriptures were not given to us. You know, because already what's given to us is already over our heads, let alone. Right? You know, in other words, if they're taking it down to this detail, it's not that he couldn't, you notice he's just going through and saying that this happened and that happened. But getting into the moods, the bhavas, the santaris, everything is going, how they look, that you could do in this, instead of being a 3-page purport, would end up as a 30-page purport. You know? And that's for these verses. And then you could do that basically with everything. So it's more than we could deal with. You know, just like we said before, Madhvacharya, he was going to give 108 different meanings to each word of the Vishnu Sahasranam. I can't remember, I think it was after 48. Then 48 or 64, I can't remember which. They said, that's it, we can't handle anymore. It may have been, yeah, no, I think it was like that. He said, that's it, our brain can't accommodate anymore. You know, so it's a standard thing. Is that there's a certain amount that we can handle. So that's why when it says revealed scriptures, it means it's revealed what is going to be useful for us. What we can accommodate, what we can appreciate. That's why it's revealed, because otherwise it's unlimited. So only what Krishna reveals is what you know. Like that. So that's why we can't make up pastimes, we don't project ourselves into the pastimes and this and that. Otherwise, the point is if we suddenly show up in the pastime, everybody will ask, who invited this guy? You know? Because it's very obvious we're not on that platform. We may be attracted to Krishna, but the point is, since we're there because we want to be there, then where does that place it? It's not on the level of the gopis. That's 100% about Krishna. It's not on the level of the queens. And then at closest we can get is on the level of Mathura. But then the point is then they have prema, but it's you know what I'm saying? So then the problem comes is that we're not on the level of prema, so we don't even make it to the Mathura level. So, you know, we stay here. But they'll be projecting themselves there that yes, I'm there and this and that, but the point is it's not real. You know what I'm saying? Because no one will appreciate. Is that? Yeah. So the Prakat Leela is what we see. That's what we as sadhakas can relate to. And that there's the apricot, that we know it's there, and we see that it's basically the same thing. There's some minor adjustments, but the point is the reference point for the apricot is the prakat. They always refer to the prakat lila as the reference, because that's how the identity works. Does that make sense? Yes. So it's not a problem that it's the prakat. That's where one comes to the platform of prema. And then on that platform, then one can function in that eternal variety that's there in the apricot. Right? Not that there's not eternal variety in the prakat, it's just that any one manifestation goes in a particular way. You know, just like we said, Ramachandra, then when he was building the bridge, then Jambavan was jumping up and down explaining how they went to, you know, Lanka in previous times, because he's there for every time he comes and performs his pastime. You know? So he was saying, wow, you know, this and that, and, you know, so. So the prakat has unlimited variety, but it, within one manifestation, it follows in a nice progression. But next time it manifests, there's a different, but it's a different group. So the eternal associates, they can handle that, because they are in the apricot, so then any manifestation of the prakat's not a problem. Does that make sense? So the prakat is specifically for us as sadhakas to be able to become involved and elevate ourselves. So by remembering them, that qualifies us to be able to take part in them. And taking part in them then brings us to the platform of prema. Is that... Okay, good. You had something? Somebody has something. Okay. Bhagavatamrita says, how astonishing that though two forms are present in the same place at once, each form was unaware of the other form and did not contact it.
Right. And if by God's grace, one day we will also get there.
Yes.
Now we also will get two.
No, it's not necessary. It means we take part in how much we take part in. We have to remember that these main positions they go in there. It's just like, okay, if you have, let's say, in one pastime, generally speaking, for the regular running of it, then we have Rupa Goswami's given a number of 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants. Like that. But that means, since time immemorial, there's only been 5,000 to 6,000 people that have come into the pastimes in that way. No, it means it's unlimited. So that means then Radha and Krishna are in another pastime. It's all going on simultaneously with their main associates and then all those who have attained to that position. And like that, there's unlimited. That's why Goloka is so big. Because in Vaikuntha, it's just he's there. There's no parallel stuff. Means you have the different flavors, but then you have 24 different flavors by the 24 Vishnus. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Which flavors?
Not like I understand.
You want to know which one's strawberry, which one's, you know.
Yes, something
is
like
any
that.
Of them kiwi?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Definitely, you don't have to worry. There is no durian flavor.
Good.
Yes. That means the flavors means you have Keshava, Madhava, Govinda, all the different 12. Means, you know, like when you say the Achman, you say all the 24 names. So all those then have all their planets, and there'll be a slightly different flavor. Because you have Vasudev, Sankarsan, Prajumna, Adiruddha, right? And so each of them have their expansions. So then which ones go with which, and then they have their expansions, and that way you get 24. Does that make sense? You know, like that, it works out. So there'll be another flavor of Vasudeva, another flavor of Sankarsan, like this. So this is how they attain their parallel. Because, you know, Sankarsan's in all of those, like that. So we can see here again the parallel universes and all that. Yes, according to the statement, though the expanded forms are not considered different from each other, they appear so to us. There's no difference between all the expanded forms. Though that is so, by the influence of the Lila Shakti, there's a difference in self-identity, activities, etc. Right? Because even though there's no difference, one of them will be tasting, like we see here, Devaki is you know, caring for Krishna, and she's tasting those anubhavs, and another one, she's separated from Krishna and tasting those. So the activities of the two are different, the moods are different, how they're identifying themselves in the situation at that time. But they're the same person. So this is Lila Shakti. She can take care of that kind of stuff. No? Oh, okay. This will be revealed in the chapter on the power of Yoga Maya and in the story of Bahulastva and Shrutadev. Okay, so that means he'll comment on that further then. The two different forms have two different functions. As gold, only on being subjected to intense fires, reveals its true nature and value. Krishna would send Uddhava, the best among his devotees, to Braja to show him the form in separation, manifested in a most explicit manner, in order to show the supreme position of astonishing Braja Prema with its characteristics of Divyonmada and Chitra Jalpa. Right, you know, in other words, the transcendental madness and this wonderful transcendental, just speaking all kinds of stuff that doesn't necessarily seem to mean anything or connect with anything. Uddhava, seeing the forms of separation in their highest state, was most astonished. Understanding its superior, because he's seen separation in the Yadavas and everything else, but he's never seen this. So that means if the separation is this great, that means then their interaction also has to be that great. Right? Means the separation is only going to be as great as the sambhog. And then accordingly, the Vipralamba is going to make the sambhog that much greater. So he can understand from the simtas, just they're so much more elevated because the intensity of their devotion in separation is so much more. Is that... Yes? No? Yes.
So we see both Uddhava and Akura, they visit Vrindavan, and they appreciate the mood very much.
Yes.
Even more.
Yes, yes.
But then, why wouldn't they ask the residents of Vrindavan to extend that mood?
Extend that mood means?
The Vrindavan mood. Extend it. You know, invite them and like that.
Show invite them where?
You know, to Mathura, Varka, like that.
Because the point is there you can't have that mood. Because the residents of Dwarka can't, that's not their mood. So Krishna reciprocates according to the mood of the residents that are there. So it can't. Means you can have that touch where the Brajabasis come to Mathura, because Mathura being more sweetness, means in Aishwarya there's more sweetness than in Dwarka. So that element of sweetness, that's where Nanda Baba and them can take part. But that's the limit. You see, they come and stay on the outer edge. They don't come into Mathura as far as residence. They come in for the festival and then go back. But they reside outside. So they can come on the edge and have that little bit of interaction. But actually, there's limited scope for, you can't have, because if the Braj fully manifests, then it's not Mathura Dwarka anymore. Then it's Vrindavan. And then what will the Dwarkavasis do? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's just different tastes. They have these tastes, and they're fully absorbed in them. Therefore, Krishna has created this unlimited facility for the different devotees to taste all these different tastes. You know, therefore you have all the different aspects of Goloka and all the different aspects of Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? Yeah. And even in the material world, when he comes and performs his pastimes here, then you have all those variety of tastes. Right? Does that make sense? So all those can be going on. No problem.
Maharaj, I think they try out once and then it doesn't work out. Like they call all the Vrajavasis for one pastime in Dwarka.
They call.
And then after some time, Krishna understands it's not Vraj. Like they make all the mandalas.
Yes, yes, yes. Brihad Bhagavatam. But there, they don't actually call them. They just make deities of them. Right? Because the deity is non-different. So therefore, then Krishna talks to Mother Jashoda and this and that. But, you know, she doesn't seem to interact much. So he figures she must be, you know, in some kind of transcendental ecstasy. So then he... yeah. Yes. So they're attracted by it, but the point is they're doing that to keep so things work properly. Uddhava, seeing the forms of separation in their highest state, was most astonished, understanding a superior to all else, a superiority to all else. He would then announce to the world, "These gopis have attained the rare treasure of the highest possible prema for Krishna, the soul of all living entities, are the wealthiest of all and have reached the highest success in the universe." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-58. Krishna did not show as much mercy to Lakshmi as he showed to the gopis by embracing the throats with his arms and fulfilling their other desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-60. Oh, this is all Uddhava saying. I desire to take birth in the form of a creeper in Braja, just to take the dust from the feet of the gopis who give up relatives, husbands and sons and social rules, went to meet Krishna who is sought by the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. When these manifested forms in separation would later go to Kurukshetra and show themselves to Vasudeva, Rukmini and others, they would create astonishment in them also. When Balaram went to Braja, he also became astonished on seeing those forms in separation, reaching the extremes of madness. Right? So, seeing these aspects of the separation, that manifestation, then everybody's that is amazed. Right? So Uddhava's amazed, then when the Dwarkavasis meet them at Kurukshetra, they're amazed. When Balaram goes back to visit, he visits that group, then they're amazed. Does that make sense? Yeah. The second manifestation, that of Krishna and the inhabitants of Braja being together, is to show that the prema of the gopis and others of Braja who have taken shelter of him is unchanged and fixed. The gopis, pained by separation, singing the pastimes of Krishna past 2 days. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-37. It should be understood from this that the gopis, after Krishna left for Mathura, by singing the pastimes of Krishna for 2 days, specifically attained his association. On going to Braja, Uddhava tells Nanda and Yashoda, Krishna is certainly keeping his promise he made after killing Kamsa. We will come back after you, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-35. The present tense, he is keeping his promise, not the future is used in this statement. So, in other words, the prakat aspect that we're seeing, where we see the separation and all that, that aspect then, that's then what is being described by the Uddhava, then the Balaram and everybody like that. But we see by elements in the verses that are mentioned, it hints at this other aspect, the second aspect where they're with Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense? But the point is the same pastimes go on. But to bring out the greatness is then that aspect of separation. When Uddhava entered Braja, he first saw the forms manifesting association with Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-9. When Uddhava approached Nanda, the cows were mooing loudly with milk bags, and chasing their calves, and the bulls were mooing loudly as they engaged in fighting with the other for enjoying the cows. There was the sound of milking cows in the flute. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-10. The cowherd men and women appeared splendid with all their ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-11. As they pulled on the churning ropes or their bangled arms, the women of Braja shone with the splendor of their jewels, which reflected the lamp's light. Their hips, breasts, and necklaces moved about, and their faces, anointed with reddish kumkuma, glowed radiantly with the luster of their earrings reflected from their cheeks. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-45. As the ladies of Braja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascending to the sky and dissipating all inauspiciousness in every direction. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-46. These are all symptoms of the bliss generated by meeting with Krishna. Here the purpose and proof of the second explanation, expansion, has been described. Right, so he described the first one we know, because that one is what we're used to hearing about. But the second one, that is, it's only a few verses describe that. And so here the Acharya then has revealed that. So you can see is that both are going on. So Uddhava saw both, but the one that stands out is the one of the separation. Because that's the one that goes back. From that he can understand their level of prema. Yes? No? Very good? Verses 26 to 31. The lords undergo upanayanam and study at the Gurukul. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear king, when Vasudeva, the son of Surasena, arranged for a priest and other brahmas to perform his two sons' second birth initiation, Vasudeva honored those brahmas by worshipping them and giving them fine ornaments and well-ornamented cows with their calves. All these cows wore gold necklaces and linen wreaths. The magnanimous Vasudeva then remembered the cows he had mentally given away on the occasion of Krishna and Balaram's birth. Kamsa had stolen those cows, and Vasudeva now recovered them and gave them away in charity also. After attaining twice-born status through initiation, the lords, sincere in their vows, took the further vow of celibacy from Gargamuni, the spiritual master of the Yadus. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, According to Vedic culture, every respectable family has an acharya, or spiritual master. One is not considered a perfectly cultured man without being initiated and trained by an acharya. It is said, therefore, that one who has approached an acharya is actually in perfect knowledge. Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram are the supreme personality of Godhead, the master of all education and knowledge. There was no need for them to accept the spiritual master or acharya. Yet for the instruction of ordinary men, they also accept the spiritual master for advancement in spiritual knowledge. So you see is that on all levels, all the Vaishnavas, they all accept this principle. And even those who follow the Vedic culture, then they have their, you know, the acharya who then teaches these things. Right? Though it may or may not be in the Vaishnav line, but the point is that you have to have a teacher who they, what they're teaching you is the practice that they follow. Right? That's acharya. Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Garga instructed them on the Brahmacharya vow. He taught the boys about Gayatri, Savitra, Prajapatya, and Brahmachari vows. The Gayatra vow, okay, means 3 days of study. Prajapatya means Brahmachari vows for 1 year. The beginning of study, the beginning of studying the Vedas. Brahma means vows until the Vedas are completely studied. Srila Sridhar Swami says that in this case, the word Gayatra simply means general observance of Brahmacharya. They were fixed in their vows. Suvratau. Right? Because whatever is to be learned, they can learn by hearing it once. They don't have to hear it for so many times. So then they could complete the instructions for the Brahmachari vows. But they can still do that within that very short time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why then we see is that in the line is given, our acharyas then give that system where then we accept initiation from the spiritual master coming in the line. And then for us, then we have the founder. So then those who are in line with the founder and then give us that connection and give us those instructions of the founder, then for us, that is then accepting the acharya. Yes? Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Concealing their innately perfect knowledge by their human-like activities, those two omniscient lords of the universe, themselves the origin of all branches of knowledge, next desired to reside at the school of a spiritual master. Thus they approached Sandipani Muni, a native of Kashi, living in the city of Avanti. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "The ocean is the source of water in a river. The cloud is created by the evaporation of ocean water, and the same water is distributed as rain over the surface of the earth, and then returns to the ocean in rivers. So Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are the source of all knowledge. But because they were playing like ordinary human boys, they set the example so that everyone would receive knowledge from the right source. Thus they agreed to take knowledge from a spiritual master," right? So the knowledge they're getting from Sandipani Muni is the same knowledge that came in the rain that came by evaporating the ocean, which is them. But to play the pastime and set the example, then they took that knowledge from him, just like the oceans take water from the rivers. But that water from the rivers came from the ocean. Verses 32-50. The lords recover their guru's dead son. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Sandipani Muni thought very highly of these two self-controlled disciples, whom he had attained so fortuitously. By serving him as devotedly as one would serve the Supreme Lord himself, they showed others an irreproachable example of how to worship the spiritual master. Footnote 5. Harivamsa says, announcing their name and gotra, the two boys showed the best conduct in studies and without pride served the guru. That best of brahmanas, the spiritual master Sandipani, was satisfied with their submissive behavior and thus taught them the entire Vedas, together with their six corollaries and the Upanishads. Right? So first they learned the ashram duties and everything like that, as we saw before. Then he teaches them the Vedic knowledge itself. Yes.
It doesn't go side by side? Ashram duties?
Yes, but we're just showing the different aspects of what they're learning. So in other words, they're taught the ashram things, that goes on, then they're taught all the Vedas. Right? With their six corollaries and the Upanishads. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means all the Vedangas, and then the Upanishads means the philosophy. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, It is customary, after being initiated in the Gayatri Mantra, for one to live away from home for some time under the care of the Acharya, to be trained in spiritual life. During this period, one has to work under the spiritual master as an ordinary menial servant. There are many rules and regulations for a brahmachari living under the care of an Acharya, and Krishna and Balaram strictly follow those regulative principles while living under the instruction of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni, who was a resident of Avantipur in the northern Indian district of Ujjain. According to scriptural injunctions, the spiritual master should be respected and regarded on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna and Balaram exactly followed those principles with great devotion and underwent the regulations of Brahmacharya. Thus they satisfied their spiritual master, who instructed them in Vedic knowledge. Being very satisfied, Sandipani Muni instructed them in the intricacies of Vedic wisdom and in the supplementary literature such as the Upanishads. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, so that means, you know, any of these supplementary, the Brahmana, all these different things that are there, the Dharmas, all these aspects. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, he also taught them the Dhanurveda with its most confidential secrets, the standard books of law, the methods of logical reasoning and philosophical debate, and the sixfold science of politics, right? So that means then the Upangas. So he taught him the Vedas, the Upavedas, and the Upangas. So that means all the 14 books they were taught. Yes?
So during Srila Prabhupada's time, you know, the ashram was, you know, for celibates is very prominent.
Right.
And people joined the ashram with the idea to stay like that for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Nowadays, we don't have that determination, and nobody basically preaches about that, for, you know, different reasons. However, is that a good idea that we invite people, like, say, for a certain period, like adults already, they're not kids, but adults, to get trained in the ashram? Say for, you know, a certain amount of time.
Yeah. Means, see, the thing is that Prabhupada introduced Brahmachari ashram.
Right.
And he talked about the Naistika Brahmachari, and that you know, that also you can get married.
Yeah.
But the point is the training for both is the same. So, but the difference is Upakurvana means he will get married. So basically the typical thing is they join as Upakurvana Brahmacharis with that idea is that they'll study and then they'll graduate, they'll get married. But having studied like that, then you might find some don't see the need to get married. So then they'll just continue that. They don't graduate. They just continue on. So those Brahmacharis who don't graduate, those are called Naistika. And those who do and get married, those are called Upakurvana. So the principle that you are going to be a brahmachari for X amount of time for training, then that is something that the mind can deal with quite comfortably. Right? Because you know it's just for this much time, so then you can follow it. But if it's just a matter of, no, if you move in the brahmachari ashram, that's forever, then it makes it hard to deal with all those things. Means if you have good association, you'll get longer than that, and you see many have become, you know, Naistika from that. So if you don't try to shoot the rhinoceros, you don't even end up with a mouse, right? You know, when you're dealing with malechas and yavanas, right? You know, so it's like, you know, brahmachari is the last thing from their mind, right? So, but with time, as devotees understand the culture, the maturity, and all these things, then they can have that you go and study for X amount of time. For the kids, then ideally they're doing that for a minimum of 12 years, right? That's you know, something. But at least the minimum is 4 years is the standard. Is that's considered a Gurukul minimum. So depending on that, if you want to go traditional, then there would be a 4-year training period as a brahmachari. Because it takes 2 years to get adjusted with it fully. And then that other 2 years would make it very solid. So you could see is that 4 years would make a very solid brahmachari that then if they want to get married, they'd do quite well. Does that make sense? But we see is that it also comes down as the prajapati is 1 year. Like that. Or 3 days. So So you see, generally, a lot of Hindus do the three-day one. Right? You know, they shave up, they're very austere, all that, brahmacharya for 3 days. They get, you know, they get the upanayana in 3 days, and then after that, then, hari bhava. Huh?
They do that?
Yeah, they do that. They do that. I mean, nowadays, probably most do that. That's the ones who are worried about upanayanam and stuff. Then you have those that they go to Gurukul and stuff like that. You still have Gurukul. So it's not that all of them aren't going on. But the 3 day one is pretty standard. I've heard even some try to get away with just this 1 day, you know, because the guys are just too spoiled. They can't live without their dopa or something. They can't make it.
And they do it for the kids?
It means the kids doing it when they're going to get upanayanam. Where is it? Where is it talking about that?
Page 16.
Yeah, Gayatra. Okay, so then Gayatra vow means 3 days. So most of, you know, Savitra is just for the sake of the Gayatri itself. Taking the Gayatri and focusing on it, learning the Gayatri nicely, and, you know, just so you know that there is, you could live like that and not die. Right? Even though they might think they will, but no, you could actually survive 3 days and not die. Right? So then maybe when they get, you know, when they hit 50 or something, 60, then they can think as, well, I could actually live more simply and not die. Right? Then the 1 year is considered better, but then the standard is, then whatever is to study the whole Veda. So then you can say, I'm going to stay 12 years, or I'm going to study the Veda, or both. Right, so then if they said they're just going to study the Veda, let's say they finish the Veda in 8 years, then they're done. Like that. Does that make sense? Then they leave the ashram. Or if it's that they're going to do 12 years, then they do that. So it's just a matter of seeing what is there. So then you also have a graduates. There's those who have maintained their vow, or those who have actually finished the study. Because it could be in that 12 years they didn't finish the Veda. You know? Does that make sense? So they could continue until they finish, or does that make sense? So you have different varieties of what you can do, basically, with the Brahma vow. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Huh? No, this after marriage. Means if you're working with the traditional 7 day marriage, right? Means the ritual that we see in all that, then most of that happens on one of the days. But the first day is the boy's family comes, they're received like that, and then they have the different things that go on, the mehendis there, and then you have the turmeric and all these different things. They happen on different days, and all the time they're all having some nice prasad, and different things are happening on all that. Then they'll have the marriage, right? And then, having had the marriage, then for four nights, the couple is celibate. They can live together, but they're celibate, and they stay in the house, the girl's house. Then on the fourth day in the morning, then there's the particular rituals that are there, the Yana Rohana getting on the chariot and all these different things and some other stuff that's done there. Then they go to the boy's house. Arriving at the boy's house, then they do the Driti Homa and other things like that. So it actually takes 7 days to do the marriage, right? Because one day everybody arrives, then you have the next day you do all these other things, and then the next day after that, then you have the marriage, right? Does that make sense? And then you have, and then in those 3 days that they're there, that's when the family, you know, the two families are together. They play all kinds of their interesting games that they do to, you know, how you say, get to, so the boy and girl get to know each other, the family gets to know each other, and things like that. So that's a traditional wedding, you know. And we have people that, okay, well, this is what's going, okay, how long will all this take? Well, the whole thing together, if you do explanations and everything, might take 2.5 hours to get. Can it be a little shorter than that? You know, like that. Okay, we could do this. It'd be about 1.5 hours. But that's quite long. I don't think my relative can sit through that. Okay, we can just do this, and that'll take you 1/2 hour. Yeah, that sounds very nice. That was not an exaggeration. Like that. You can see, I have different forms of marriages down to, you know, like that, you know. Well, it's not a Brahma wedding. You can't, means if you came out, the girl came around, goes around 7 times, they exchange the garlands, technically they're married, but that's only Gandharva rites, because they have to touch, so they have to be married. Right? Then the rest of it's the Brahma rite. But once you get through the 7 steps, they're married. So at that time you do Vaishnav Homa Haribal. You know? Like that. So that's the thing. But the short marriage, it's a standard marriage also. That 30-minute marriage is the standard one, but it's not used for first married girls. It's used for remarried girls. Like that. Because they've already done all the purificatory rites that are there in the full marriage, so they only have to do those ones that are specifically actually the marriage. Does that make sense? So the full rites are the marriage and purificatory rites. So the purificatory rites are done. They don't have to do those again. So then they just do those things. Does that make sense? You know, the kanyadan is not given, the holding the hands is not done, all these different things are not done together. But the ludge, you know, going around 7 times, the cinder donum, the ludge, the 7 steps, that's done. And that's it. So that's your 30-minute marriage. Yes.
In our Gaudiya tradition, since we don't have any qualified teachers to teach Vedas, is there something equivalent that in the Gurukul environment, in the Gaudiya, in our sampradaya, what would be the alternative?
Alternative.
In the sense, if we don't have qualified teachers.
But qualified means what? How are you defining qualified?
Like for example,
and how are you defining Veda?
The Niruktas, the Kalpas, we don't have those kind of aspects of understanding.
But where would you be using those? Sorry? But the yajnas that the acharyas have already given those things.
So we have an alternative in terms of not going to the standard aspect of the Vedic.
No, but it is standard. That's the whole point is that there's an illusion that the Gaudiya stuff that's given by the acharyas is not standard, is not a padati, is not this and that. Those who have learned from the Shris will go on and on and on saying these things. And it's only those who want to learn from the Shris. I have yet to find one who's learned from the Madhvas. You know, Nimbarkas, Vishnu Swamis. No, somehow the Shris, because it's obvious. Like that. They'll always say we don't have a padati because it doesn't, it's not based on a particular Pancharatric text. But lo and behold, most those who follow the Pancharatra, even of the Shris, they have to take from many texts to put together a padati. So just that definition doesn't even work for them also. Whatever they follow, then what's the alternative for if you're a water Dalai, not a ten Dalai? You understand? So even amongst themselves, they don't follow what each other does, right? They'll each think the other one is not doing the right thing. So therefore, then to take that and say the Gaudiyas aren't doing the right thing, that's really stretching it. You know, they should just, if you study from the Shris, then argue with the Shris over who's right and who's wrong. Don't bring it over to our place because it doesn't have any meaning. So our acharyas have given us. So then we are in the Samveda line. Because that's what Lord Chaitanya was. He was in the Samveda line. And so therefore then we have that. But you can also take these other lines. If you like, whatever's there. But the point is Samveda. So that's why then our yajnas and samskars are in the Samveda line. Now, generally speaking, it's very few Shris will be Samveda. There are some, but most of them will be Yajurveda. And of Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda. They don't even have many Shukla Yajurveda, which is what Rupa and Sanatan were. So that also is a nice line. So these are all, and we see if we're going to say as, oh, but no, this is more, you know, bona fide, but then Krishna does say of the 4 Vedas, he's Rig, Yajur, and Sama, and of the 3, he's Sama Veda. So sorry. Our acharyas took from the highest, most pleasing to Krishna text. So if you want to please, you know, Vaikuntha Wallas, then go for it. If you want to please Krishna and Braj, then you better stick with our stuff. Like that. You understand? And then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, then they've documented all other things that we need for whatever we do. And all this other stuff that they do, is it really necessary for us? We worship Krishna. Do we have to know a Mrityunjaya Homa? No. We just chant Hare Krishna. These are nice. You can do all these different things, install the pot in 10 different ways. But who cares? Literally. You know what I'm saying? Literally. Have you ever been there for an installation with the Shris? Now, there's one guy sitting there with all the pots doing all the things. What are all the other guys doing? Sitting around talking. Drinking their tea. Well, excuse me. Coffee. Don't want to, you know, with chicory. With chicory. Yeah. Like that. I've seen them in a yagya. Right there. They sat down. They're just about to start the yagya. The ladies bring in their little cups of coffee. You know, it has those little the lips on the edge so they don't have to touch the mouth. Like that. They just do their achman and then do the yagya. Now, you're going to tell me that's a standard? And then they're going to criticize us? It's kind of like, let's get real here. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, we have padatis, we have everything given by our acharyas. And if those who have studied from the Shris can't see that, that means, what are they educated in? So if you're not doing just what they're doing, but the next Shri next door is doing something totally different. They don't understand that? Vaishnav means you're using the Vedic, you know, literatures to please Krishna. That's what Vaishnava is. If you think, no, what I'm doing, that's Vaishnava, something else, then great. Go to Vaikuntha. But I don't think you'll get into Braj with that mentality. I highly doubt it.
Will you get to Vaikuntha with that mentality?
That's another thing. But, you know, but I mean, if the fish went, then, you know, why can't they go?
The fish was offenseless.
That's also there. That's a good point. They're just doing their thing, of course they'll go. But if they're criticizing what we're doing, then you have a doubt. Serious doubt. Because if they doubt the Goswamis, which you know, as we mentioned, we back in the 80s when you still had these Sri Vaishnava pundits. Nowadays you have less pundits. You still have pujaris, but not so much pundits. But you had these big scholars and all that. They read our books. They appreciated our books. They would point out, you know, what's going on in our books. You know, so they really, really, really appreciate it.
One of the most famous of the Sri Vaishnava acharyas, he told his disciple. His disciple was like, he had a PhD degree and he was teaching in one university in Madras, that you make your life good to read Chaitanya Charitamrita, because there contains the full. And how Gurudev, how you can tell, like, it's from some other sampradayas. This is my personal realization that Krishna personally was with Prabhupada when he wrote.
Yeah, because those who are on that level can see what the scholarship is. Because that's one of the reasons that this course goes back and forth between Prabhupada's purports and the acharyas. One, you see, is they're not saying anything different. Like that, but two, you see, is how Prabhupada words it is already contains everything they said. Just we may not catch the technical details, so then from the acharya's purports, we can catch the detail. But how it's summed up and what we understand, what's the most important, that's given in Prabhupada. So then those who are well read in Shastra, they can see this. And those who may criticize means they're not very well studied. It's sad, but. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. You know, where were they when all these things were being developed, right? Going to which IIT? You know what I'm saying? So then, you know, where were they? Why were they doing that? Because of jobs, because of this and that. You know? Well, Prabhupada's disciples, they gave up all that and came and then they developed all these things. So that's the whole point, is that when you haven't done that, you can see. And once you've done that, you may or may not be able to see. That's the problem. It's good. So that's our experience in the 80s when we were going around and doing all the research for the Gurukul. We found that they very much appreciated what we did. The ones who we found had problems were the priests. You know, just like in, like if you talk to a theologian, a Christian theologian, you'll get one kind of dealing. And you talk to a Christian priest, you'll get a totally different one. The priests tend to not be very accommodating. The theologians, they see philosophy, they can appreciate. So in the same way, the scholars, the acharyas, they can appreciate. But your regular temple priest may or may not be able to. So you always have to be careful with these things. Is that, okay? Yes, so then one could have something like that. In other words, the Vedic Gurukul tradition of a minimum is 4 years, but you see what works for your place. But I would say a minimum of 2 years full, not a day less. That would be your minimum ideal. But in other words, the next one down like this, the most minimum is 1 year. Right? Like you see, Vanaprastha, it says you take the Vanaprastha vow for 12 years. If not, then for 10, if not for 8, if not for like this, and it comes down to at least 1. Right? Does that make sense? But you can have stuff where you just have, like, what do you call it? Retreats or camps where on holidays when everybody's out of school or that, because generally those are the only ones mostly interested in brahmacharya, because if they're going to school, there's a good chance they're not married, and if they're not going to school, then there's a good chance they are married. Right? So then, from then is then when there's school holidays and that, you know, then you could run an ashram program for them during that time. So then whatever it is, you have, you know, summer holidays of 2 months or 3 months, whatever it is, they're that, or if you have, you know, whatever is the festivals that are there, that they have a week or two, or big weekends, special weekends, then you could always have programs for that. And that way, those who can't actually take advantage of the full-time thing, they could do that. And then by doing that, if then they find that it's nice, then they could go in for one of these longer term. But you just have to see what works. But otherwise, you start with the idea of 4 years, but as I mentioned, it'll take 2 years for them to get fully adjusted. 1 year to get adjusted to the external form of it, like that. So that's probably why it's the minimum here. Another year to get adjusted internally to the mood, like that. Then after that, it works.
Is it the same for the balance of the keys?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same anyway. You know, like somebody moves to Mayapur, it takes them 2 years to adjust. The first year just to figure out, where's the shop and what you can eat, what you can't eat, how to figure out how a rickshaw works and stuff like that, and you know how it's not 500 rupees from Hula Ghat up to their house, you know, stuff like that. You know, it takes them a year to figure all that out. Once they've figured all that out and they're comfortable, then it takes another year to get adjusted to just the mood, like that. So it's like 90% is done, you know, in that first year, but that last 10%, that's the subtle, that's more. Then after that, then it's just, you know, you get time. So the more time spent, then the more it becomes solid. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so like that, you just figure out what would work. But the idea is that you do it for this long, then having done it for that, then you decide, you know. Or you just make it, okay, it's 4 years, but 1 year at a time. Right? So you're doing a prajapati. Is it prajapati? Prajapati. Which was it?
1 year.
Prajapatya. The Prajapatya, you know, of the 4 year Gurukul standards, right? So every year then you decide you want to do another year, but it's another year. Right? Or you want to graduate. Right? So if they can't do another year, they wouldn't have made it anyway. So, you know, if they do that, then they make it through. Because then the mind is peaceful. Like if you know I'm fasting till noon, then you don't get disturbed. But if you're thinking, maybe we're fasting, maybe we're not, then you have a problem. Does that make sense? So that's the method. You know, that regulate. Because then the mind knows, yes, I can do this and get into it for a year, and then after that, then we'll decide. And then if you found it was nice, it's going smoothly, you do it another year. And like that, ideally at least minimum 4 years. And then having done that, now they said, okay, now I feel solid. Then they can graduate and then go out and do whatever they do. Does that make sense? That's the
I was contemplating on the morning discussion that the association is the most important principle.
Yes, yes.
But the difficulty in association is that people are untrained. They don't have common language.
Yes, yes, yes.
So just to bring them together takes so much energy. So
yes,
much
yes.
And then still we're not sure what's going to come out of that.
Yes. So then you can try doing something, whatever would work, either like you said, camps of training camps or having, you know, some kind of an ashram scene like that. And then you can also have for those who are married, you just have regular programs to train them how to do, either at the temple, go out to their houses, do in their houses, but on a regular basis, just go through all the culture, what to do, what to consider. People bring up their practical, you know, obstacles that they've come across. It can be discussed, and that way then you can slowly, you know, bring that in there. Does that make sense? You know, some basic things maybe, if they're new couples or new to devotional service, even if they're not new couples, then they could always go in and be hosted by some couple and for some days to show them all basic kind of stuff and how you do regular, ordinary, day-to-day stuff. And then carry on the programs. Just if you find some way to give them that association and that experience. Is that?
But most of the association we're getting is on a philosophical level. It's not something practical.
Yes, but that's why the culture is there. It means we have to know the culture and the philosophy. That's what Prabhupada said. If you know the philosophy but don't know religion, then it'll be mental speculation, as we see. And if it's religion without philosophy, then it'll be sentiment, right? As is the Hindus. So the point is that we're supposed to study both and practice both, the philosophy and the religion. Then that'll be balanced. Because so much of the speculation when it comes to culture and community and relations is all because we don't accept religion. So therefore then there's speculation on what's proper, what's not proper, everything like that. But if it would just be explained and everything like that, then why would we do it? Right. So you just have to see. And who's interested, start with them. Don't worry about everybody. You know, in other words, when you have a big pot of milk and you put a drop of yogurt in it, then it's the milk around the yogurt that turns first. And with time, it'll get to the other side of the pot. So you start with who's interested. Focus on them. Cultivate them. And then as others show interest, then add them in. And then brand new people, they can always be added in because they have a zero problem with that. But it's only after it's being seen, you've answered a million doubts, which is always just one doubt. You know, and they've seen in so many ways and this and that and been kicked around by Maya so much and eventually then they might accept and yeah, great. You know, so like that. So you concentrate on those who are willing and those who are new and do your best for everybody. And as that grows, then the others will, then because if they can see that everybody's working nicely together, then they have that faith, and then they're willing to take part. Right? But if, yeah.
Another difficulty we found is that people, somehow nowadays, they can't relate to real life experience. It's all, you know,
virtual reality.
Yeah, that one. And people actually very attached to that.
Because it goes the way you want. It's just like this. You go out there, and if you just jump over the thing or get this or that, then you get more lives and more weapons and more other things like that. And even if the guy does kill you, then hey, you just start a new game. Right? You know, what's the big deal? But you can do what you want, and that's the whole thing. While in real life, you can't just do what you want. You actually have to fit into a greater social environment. You know.
Even if you can't win, there are cheat codes.
There are cheat codes, yes. Means so, in other words, the more nerd you are, the better it goes. Right, you know. Like that. And so the other thing is like, the other one, you have to have the house, you have to have the car, you have to have the job, you have to have so many things like this. for this virtue or reality, all you need is one of those special chairs with special, you know, some equipment and a really good gaming thing like that, and you're done. You know, it's expensive, but it's done. It's doable, right? A house is 30 years mortgage. You know, this one, you know, costs you a few months paycheck. But, you know, and then you're a super nerd, right? Yeah, it's sad. Even though this idea of the communication and this and that, it's made people actually unable to communicate. You know, it's just like how much we use the all the little icons and stuff like that. Emojis, is that what they call it? Yeah, all these different things and shorts, you know, short little things, and they can't actually talk. You know, they can't spell, they can't talk, they can't string together a sentence. You know. And so then the problem is when they meet someone else, then it's a problem. So you just have to have it and just have the program going, and they take part, and they'll through intelligence see the advantage, and those who stick, and those who don't. But yeah, serious nerds are a problem.
Because they are very prominent in that sphere. They say it's the same, you know, webinars, seminars, all kind of things, educational programs online, they put people as if it is like that.
Yeah, but then if they get a taste for this, then slowly they'll start to learn. So it just may take longer. It's just less piety. Remember, you know, it's just less sukriti. So it just may take longer of exposure. So the more you can expose them, then the quicker the process will be. But what to do? You just have some things in that. But point is make it real according to our tradition. Because if you try to do what they're doing, you'll never be able to do it. Because whatever you're looking up and learning is already outdated. So the guys that have had the most brains are already years ahead of that. So don't even bother. You just do with our stuff because that's eternal. So they like it, they'll take it. They don't like it, you're not going to catch them by trying to be modern. You know, just like our political correctness, it's actually 20 years behind the curve. It's really sad, but it's 20 years old. There's even people that don't even know what... I bumped into people and mentioned political correctness. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Like that. I mean, young people, they absolutely don't know what I'm talking about. You know? And then you explain it, and then they'll have other terms and this and that, and they don't really like that stuff. They'd rather be more straightforward and all that. Because in the video game, you can be so much straightforward. You know. You know, in the video game, you don't have to say that, if you don't mind, I'm actually going to, by my physical proximity, create a very, you know, a physical challenge to your state of present existence that you may not be able to recover from. Because in that amount of time, you already would have cut the guy's head off and a few other people. So they don't like political correctness. It's just too stupid for them. So therefore, don't even bother with that stuff. It means proper language, proper this and that you can use, but all these fancy, what do you call it? These slangs, these modern slangs, you have to be a little careful of them. Because you don't know if they're actually up to date or not. Like that. Because people in the field, they goof on that. People who are still using the stuff that's 6 months old, they make videos to goof on those guys. You know, and we took 6 months to learn them, and then finally now we can do it, but now it's outdated. You know, so it's... Don't even bother. Just use our terms, our explanations, our examples. Try to make it, you know, fit into what they're doing. And, how are you about? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, in this aspect of, like, you know, people with philosophy and no culture, they tend to mentally speculate. Like, and then they have very great difficulty how the culture fits.
Yes.
But we observe in, like, countries like India, there is so much difference in the details of the culture everywhere, but because people follow one culture, they can understand other. Like in between family to family, there is lot of difference.
Yeah, difference. Yeah,
but they can adjust when it.
Yeah, because the principle of the tradition is accepted. The detail is another thing, right? So that's there. So it's just a matter of each local has their little element of how they walk in through the door, you know, like that. Do they kick over something? Do they use a sword? Are they on a horse? So, you know, it's like this. So they each have their own idea of what it is. You know, when you go through the door, then, you know, I'm sure in Punjab that when the girl first comes to the house, you don't have bobot. Bot means rice. You know, you might have sri chapati, you know, or sri roti, but you're not going to have boba. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So there's going to be some difference. You know, if in Punjab you can't cook rice, but you can cook chapatis, you're fine. Right? Does that make sense? You know, unless it's a biryani, of course, but but plain white rice, who eats that? You know, it's like. Does that make sense? So it's. That'll have, but that there's a marriage, all these different things are there, you're following the Veda, you have the priest, you have the yajna, you have all, that's all standard. Whether you go around the fire three times, or seven times, or, you know, that's going to be difference of Veda and that. But the basis, because of the authorities in the Veda, therefore there's the same culture. You'll get the same experience. So even though they have different ways, it's like they're serving your chapatis and sabji, and then somewhere else is serving your rice and sabji, but the experience you get of the hosting is the same. So that's the point, is the culture is common, but they don't have the philosophy. You know, it says anything you dream up, that works, you know, like that. So now if you can put the two together, now that's what Prabhupada wanted.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.